aloha and God's blessing in this season of Epiphany. Will you pray with me? Holy and ever-present God, you come to us veiled in mystery, and yet we see your glory in the healing of a hurt, peace between hateful neighbors, the breath of a newborn child tickling our cheek, and the tears of joy when we find new love. Help us to see you in this day, in this moment, in this place, as you reveal yourself anew to us. Amen. It is a joy to be back in this community again today. I expressed our appreciation a number of times for the wonderful opportunity of having a three-month sabbatical, a time of rest and renewal. And I want to thank you again for that rare opportunity. I saw a number of pastors during the time that I was off who all, almost to a person, said, I wish my congregation would give me a sabbatical. And I kept quiet. This morning we begin the season of Epiphany. The word means literally to make manifest, to appear. The word even means to shine. In ancient Greek, it was also even used to describe that moment when the sun comes up over the horizon in the morning. We use the word epiphany as an aha moment, a sudden revelation of what we didn't know. We celebrate this season of Epiphany today with the readings of the Magi, who upon seeing a star manifest itself in the sky, follow it in search of a new king. But it's clear that that makes the current king nervous. Matthew doesn't give us much time to revel in the beautiful and pastoral scene of the Magi and of the manger. And woven within the text that we read today, he's quick to remind us that the natal star is not received equally or with equal spirit by Herod. But what Herod and the Magi hold in common is that they all know something important is about to be revealed. And that it's going to be revealed by God in the cold light of a natal star. But neither Herod nor the Magi can anticipate how God will make, how God will be made manifest in such a new and powerful fashion. They can't even begin to imagine that this will upset and change everything in the world. There's no way that they could know at that moment that 2,000 years later, this child is still upsetting the world. On that night with Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, Maisie the cow and the annoying flute player that's in the back of the crowd over there, God is still making a pretty big epiphany, a revelation, an appearing. Not in more towering clouds of fire and smoke that we're used to, or burning bushes. There's no instant fountain of water in the desert or miraculous defeat of enemies. This revelation is different. It's a child. And through that revealing, we are now called to see God and to see ourselves through the lens of that new light, that new light of love. And that light opens our eyes and changes us. It brings love. Now, of course, the prickly thing about this new light of love, is that it will shine equally on both the good and the bad and the evil and the righteous. It will challenge our preconceived notions of worthiness and righteousness and morality. And it will call us to change and be transformed. And that's the rub. That's the rub. Because change is so hard. The Magi sense that going home and reporting to Herod will bring a change that they do not want. And so they go home by another way. So often we get hooked into exactly where we are and how we are in our lives. Inertia may be the hardest thing for us to overcome. Whether it's in our jobs or in our marriages or our relationships or in our churches. You know, folks for years have said that the biggest thing challenging the Christian church these days is decline. Well, I used to believe that. I think the biggest thing that is challenging us these days is the same thing that has challenged us for 2,000 years. Inertia. A body that is not in motion chooses generally not to get into motion. I know that by my 4 visits to the gym last year. But I promise to do better in 2024. I think the same becomes true in our own lives and even in our spiritual lives. We get into this idea that what we're doing and how we are is really the only way that we can be. We lose sight that there is a star. Even Paul, if you read the second lesson for this morning, you read how Paul sort of talks about how, you know, this is the new church, this is how this is going to happen, we're now going to have Gentiles. And for us, we're like, well, of course you're going to have Gentiles. But we don't really parse out how radical it was that that's what Paul was proposing. That people who once were not the people of God were suddenly going to become the people of God? Imagine how many committees that must have taken. If the ELCA had to do that, it would have taken our entire 500 years just to form the committee. But what if God really is calling us anew in this natal star? What if Paul's right? That really, at our core, we are the people of Jesus, the people of God, who are being called into relationship with God and with one another and our community and the creation and our world in a new way. And that it turns out that way does not always have to be the same. Take the shocked look off of your faces. I had a conversation with a colleague last week. And you all know I'm involved in education and so forth. And we were talking about what's happening within our seminary system. And the fact that, as it turns out, Mark, you can attest to this, nobody wants our job. Right? There are very few people entering into seminary these days. And so we had this conversation about, so what are we going to do? And so they're meeting and talking about it and thinking about it. And I said, they're thinking about going all online. They're trying to figure out how to do master's degrees in a different way so that maybe if any of you wanted to take a class, you could. Duh. And I said, but that means that we have to rethink what it is that God is doing in God's church. We have to decide, is it really important for people to be able to recite all of the heresies of the church? All right. Someone want to explain Manichaeism to me? Do you care? So what I said was, well, what if we have to fundamentally rethink what's important in our theological education? What if we have to fundamentally rethink what it is that God is doing among us? After all, that light that shines on all of us. What if God is doing a new thing? It's going to make some of us nervous. Right? I mean, I'm famous now these days saying I'm really glad I'm in the last third of my ministry and not in the first third of my ministry. Because changes are coming and I don't think they're bad. Because I think God is still deeply leading us with His star and her star and the Spirit's work. I think that light is still there. The problem has been we don't really want to see it. Because it might shine us into a new path. And inertia gets in the way. That's the beauty of Epiphany, I think. I think if we can get refocused and begin to figure out what exactly God's star of love is leading us to, and be open to the transformation that might happen, I think we might be surprised. What if it turns out, God forbid, that what we're doing isn't really working? Or maybe it's not working as well as it should. What if it turns out that people are still hungry, not only for food, but for love? The one thing we have in abundance, and that we can give away for free. It's a powerful notion to think about this being God's church and not our own. We say it every Sunday. We say every Sunday, this is God's table and not our own. We remind ourselves in our prayer that God is at work among us, transforming and changing us and shining light on us in new ways. If we could only just encourage one another and believe it. So I wonder if we could begin, maybe just all of you today, to begin to have the curiosity of the Magi. To see where the star might be leading us. To have that curiosity to travel and to journey together, to maybe ask again and again, what is it that God is calling us to? What is God calling our community to our world, our creation? What if we just made that curiosity of love, that light of love, the very core of who we are? Quit worrying quite so much about hanging on to who we were, so that bathed in the star of the light, we might become who we are going to be. The nice thing about being on sabbatical for 3 months is you have time to look back on what you've been doing, and you finally get to the point where you have enough bandwidth in your head to think to yourself, what were you thinking? And you begin to get freed up enough to begin to listen to the Spirit. Maybe in our busyness we forget sometimes that the Spirit is still at work in this place and in this church and in this world and in creation. And in the star of the light of love and our Magi's curiosity, maybe we will get to go home by another way. Amen. I invite you to rise as you're able for the hymn of the day.